You're listening to Welcome to Eloma, a podcast for highly ambitious dreamers who get shit done. I'm your host, Kylie Peters. This is a space where we talk about healing trauma to create forward progress. Now, this topic might be a little difficult for some to talk about, but that's exactly why we're going to address it. We've all been through hard things. I mean, it's part of being human, right? But it's important to address these difficulties so we can release them and move forward more freely. So today's guest is serial entrepreneur, speaker, and writer, Corbin Davin Jedi, the leader of Hope Guide, a company devoted to helping people heal the smart way from trauma, grief, depression, and anxiety. Welcome to Eloma, Corbin.
Kylie, thanks for having me. It's good to be on the show with you.
I have to say, I'm so excited for this conversation. Corbin and I met in a speaking program, and he's just one of the most lovely human beings I've ever encountered. So I'm excited for this conversation today.
You too, Kylie. Thank you. Me too.
All right. So Corbin, in your experience, what are some of the common traumas entrepreneurs experience that hold them back from achieving their full potential?
Well, you know, I think Kylie, it's probably useful to start off with, if it's okay with you, with a definition of what trauma is, because we use this word quite a bit in our common vernacular, especially over the last couple of few years. And in my experience, when you talk to a bunch of different people, including therapists, by the way, you get a different answer as to what that is. And so we often in common, you know, many people commonly think of trauma as the thing that happened to them. And there's somebody I really like that speaks a lot on trauma, Dr. Gabor Mate. And he provides a useful definition, which is that trauma is not the thing that happened to us, but it's the way that our body responded to the things that happened to us. And so fundamentally, trauma, the work that I do around trauma, it's about addressing the way that the hard things in our past have affected our nervous system and how that's gone into the musculature and fibers of our body. And then ultimately can also manifest in the way that we think about our life. So it's kind of a circle that kind of reinforces an uncomfortable way of being. So now I can answer your actual question if you'd like, but that was just, I felt like it'd be useful to
start with. No, that's really useful. I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people think about trauma as the thing that happened to them. But so what I'm hearing you say is we're really addressing trauma as essentially the aftermath and how your body has responded to it.
Very much. Yeah. And I think it's also really important. Like, we have a tendency to view things like depression, anxiety, trauma, the what we consider to be the negative emotional experiences of being human as something that's wrong with us. And I actually don't think that's the case. I think that every one of those things is a way that we've learned to adapt to the hard things in our past, and they're very useful at times in our lives. It's not always useful in the moment, but we develop these patterns of thinking that can manifest as depression, anxiety, and there's other ways that comes into our lives. But we can manifest these different ways of thinking that can be at one point very useful, but then they become like problematic. So, but overall, I like to view it as being a gift that we're able to experience those things because they're useful to us. I think that's just a helpful starting place, because I think when we start off with a place of thinking of it as bad, as trauma as being bad, something that's terrible, we're missing the whole point in that our body is adapting to be resilient to the circumstances that we're in. So I think it's a marvelous thing that we're able to go into that, and also that we can heal from it. So as a starting place.
Okay, wait, then can I, I want to, we'll come back to the original question.
Okay,
but as you just said that, so it's, so this framework, this perspective of having experienced something traumatic and then how your body is responding to it, we can make the choice that it's a gift and and use that. So for anybody listening right now who's like, screw that, this is not a gift, you know, what words of advice might you have to them in terms of shifting that perspective?
You know, when you look at all the major religions and the major philosophies of the world, there's a lot of focus on the power of how we think. Mm-hmm. It's why the word mindset is my word of the year for 2024. Because I was like, I really need to focus on my mindset this year.
Yeah.
But you know, if you look at the Bible, for example, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's like, hey, your mind is where it begins. You know, Buddhism has a focus on mindfulness. Taoism talks about the way, and it's about like adjusting the way that we think. And the reason for all of that, Kylie, sorry to go into so much detail, maybe I'm doing too much, but the reason for all that is because there is a recognition that most, if not all, of our suffering comes not from the event that happens to us, but from what we make of the event that happens. So the meaning we make of the event that happens to us.
How we perceive it.
Right. It's how we perceive it. So like, you know, somebody can cut you off in traffic. And if you realize that they're actually just trying to get their pregnant wife to the hospital so that she can give birth, then it's like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'll back up. Like, can I try and help get other people out of the way? Or if you think that they just hate you, then you spend the whole day feeling like terrible about it. It's the same circumstance, but we gave it a different meaning. And so that's a really, really important part of the work that we do and how I think we address trauma. And I'm not sure if I actually addressed your question just now. I think I blocked it, but.
No, I think that's a great additional context for mindset. So, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you answered it, maybe you didn't. If you were to summarize that though, if you had an entrepreneur in front of you right now, and they were like, Corbin, I've been through some shit and this is what it was, and I'm having a tough time and I don't feel that way. What would be your advice to them in terms of helping them to start shifting it into a more of a positive gift?
Yeah. Well, that's a really great question. And there's not like a super simple answer, but I would say there's a starting place, there's a middle, and there's an end. The starting place is, actually, I think we need to start off by celebrating whatever it is that we're feeling and recognizing that it's just a message. Okay. That's all it is. It's actually there for our good. Whatever it is that we're feeling or experiencing, even if we're interpreting it as being something really terrible, it's like we can just receive that message with gratitude and say, I'm really grateful that I'm able to receive this message. And recognizing then that the middle part is recognizing that we do actually have the ability to decide if that's the meaning we want to assign to it. Mm-hmm. Like to the things that happened, you know? And like, sometimes it's like, could there be any other meaning? I don't know.
Right.
Well, maybe I'll give you an example from my life.
Sure.
You know, I, as a child, I had some adverse childhood experiences. I experienced some abuse from my, somebody that I knew well. And for a long time, I interpreted that as being that I was not worth loving, that I was the problem. Mm. Like that was the interpretation that I gave. And I really suffered from that. It's like, like if you believe that you are not worth loving, if you believe that you are somehow broken, that somehow it was my fault, like the suffering continues. Mm-hmm. My healing came along the lines of realizing that, A, it wasn't my fault, you know, thank you, Robin Williams, that it wasn't my fault, that the meaning I made of it wasn't actually accurate. It was useful for a moment. It protected me as a child, but it did not, it was no longer beneficial for me to keep believing that.
Yeah.
And so once I started to realize, actually, this was just something that somebody did that was wrong, that hurt me, mm-hmm. and I can heal from it, but it doesn't mean that there's something broken with me. I started to be able to let go of the mental component of that and receive the fact that maybe I was worthy of love. That changed a lot for me.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. So for anybody listening, you know, hopefully the nugget that you're taking away right now is no matter what it was or what you've experienced and what's been the response of your body and yourself to that experience, you do have a choice of how to perceive it and how to allow it to impact your daily life. Mm-hmm. So in your experience, Corbin, as we talk about the world of entrepreneurship, which we were just talking a little bit before the show about so many trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
But we see entrepreneurs overcome hardship all the time. What are some of the, you know, most common traumas that you've witnessed entrepreneurs experience that are keeping them from achieving their full potential?
Sure. You know, each one of our experiences is different. Of course, we all have our different stories, and also the way that, you know, the meaning we make of the stories that we have in our lives affect us in different ways. You and I mm-hmm. might experience the same thing and you interpret it differently. So you suffer less or more than me because of that particular thing. And so I can't speak to particular events. I mean, there's just lots of different ways that we can find ourselves in trauma, kind of an endless number of ways. However, the way that trauma can manifest in our lives, the kind of issues that we can have is, you know, it's very common for people to be in fight or flight, for example, which means that we're not using our executive functioning as much. We're really reacting instead of acting. And so for me, that was very, very common. I just spent a lot of time. I mean, I worked, for me, it manifested as working all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, something that you and I were talking beforehand, mm-hmm. I'm currently in a busy season as well, but before it was a compelling force that I couldn't resist. And I would work for 80 hours straight, like without stop, sorry, 40 hours straight without stopping, without eating, without drinking. That's the kind of way it, without sleeping anything. That's the way it showed up for me. Cause I said, you know what? I'm never going to be at the mercy of somebody else again. And this is my way to do that. But I couldn't plan very well because my executive functioning was so offline that I was just reacting to this thing and reacting to that thing. And it wasn't a great life. I burnt out actually after a while.
Yeah. You're human. Of course you will.
Yeah. So that's one common way that trauma can manifest for people is like hypervigilance, we would say, fight or flight, sort of like workaholism would be a common sort of way that people react.
Okay. Wait, I'm sorry. Can I just jump in there? Because I think that's a really big opportunity that you just presented. So talking about trauma and you're talking about workaholism, would you consider workaholism a trauma that people experience?
I would say workaholism is typically a response to a trauma. I can't speak to everybody who experiences that, but usually it's a reaction to, like, there is a force that compels us to do something that's against our nature, which is like to always be on. Like we need rest. So when we're looking at like, when we don't allow ourselves to have rest and we feel compelled to not allow ourselves to have rest, what is underlying that? Usually we're trying to solve a problem that happened at a time before. Mm-hmm. Very often for people, it's about not having enough resources, not having enough money. There's a fear of being destitute, that kind of thing.
Sure.
There's a fear of being dependent on somebody else if they experienced harm at the hands of someone else when they were vulnerable.
Yeah.
Workaholism is very often a very, very socially acceptable, by the way, way to respond to trauma. And it really, really, really helped me until it didn't.
Okay, tell us more about that because I know you're not alone in that one.
Yes. I was, if I do say so myself, Kylie, a bit of a rock star. You know, I had built and sold a few companies and I say that with a little bit of a joke, but like the rock star part.
That's pretty impressive though.
Thank you. I enjoyed it and I was good at it and but the crack started to show. I started to, it was in 2017, if I remember correctly. I was in the middle of a big launch, a big product launch. We did 18 product launches, which was unheard of.
Wow.
Yeah, in a single year. It was insane.
That is insane.
And each launch, we had at least 200 partners, sometimes as many as 1,000 partners. Yeah, it was.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was insane. And we were doing our final launch for the year and I just started crying and I was like, what, that's weird. Like, I've always been a sensitive person, but like, I can turn it on. Like, I can turn on the drive. Like, it's there's kind of two different sides to me. There's that like mm-hmm. super like CEO kind of like get shit done side. And yeah. then there's the sensitive side. Well, I know how to put the sensitive side part aside and really focus on getting shit done. But I just was like in the middle of this thing, I was really stressed and I started crying. I was like, wow, where'd that come from? And I kind of composed myself. And then like an hour later, I was like crying again. And then like 3 hours later, I was crying again. And I was like, what's happening to me? Mm-hmm. Why am I so stressed? And it was so much my wife and I at the time were working together. And she was like, you need to go to a spa and just let me handle the rest of this because you were not, I don't know what's going on with you, but you're like not functional.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, by the way, we'd been traveling at that point, we traveled to probably about 60 countries. So while we were running these businesses, wow. we were traveling and moving almost every 3 days on average, with five
three
children.
Days.
Yeah.
3 days with five children.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wow. I have no words. I want to have so many words, but I like, wow.
Well, you force yourself. I mean, I forced myself to never need any rest, never sleep, nothing.
But that's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable, but I thought I was superhuman. And I was like, I am invincible. I can do anything I want to, just mind over matter. And I was kind of proud of my ability to abuse my body.
That's such a big statement.
Yeah.
I was proud of the ability to abuse my body.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way, but they would never find those words.
Well, I've had to learn that maybe I get to be human like everybody else. And maybe like rest is good for me. We have a mutual friend whose voice plays in my head. Nina.
Rest Nina's is productive.
Own. Yeah, yeah. Well, I hear she has this thing where she says, rest, rest. Rest. Yeah. And I hear that in my head all the time. Hi, Nina. Uh-huh. I hope she hears this.
Yeah.
And I've really had to realize that rest is productive, but also like maybe even if it's not productive, maybe I actually just get to, I deserve to rest sometimes.
Yeah.
That's been the mindset shift for me. Like even if it means I'm not being productive, maybe it's okay if I take a moment to like allow my body to have what it needs. And, you know, for me, and this would be common for, to answer your previous question, Kylie, this would be common for a lot of entrepreneurs. A lot of people with trauma become entrepreneurs. I don't know if you know this, like with acute
I know a lot of people with trauma become comedians, but I come from a comedy background. So that's also true, but okay. Tell me more about this. This is really interesting.
Yeah. So when I was, so after that whole thing where I, and by the way, I had to take a long sabbatical. I realized I was not functional. Like after that, like it did not stop in like a weekend in the spa and then I was back at it. It was like, that was a defining moment in my life. And that's where when I started to realize I needed to work to heal the trauma that I had been ignoring and pushing off all my whole life. The traumatic events, I should say.
Wait, when you say that it didn't happen quickly, just for listeners, like are you talking it took like a month, a year, 3 years?
Yes, I would say 3 years. 3 years until I started to be able to deal with my trauma. I didn't even really realize exactly what had happened, but, in my particular case, and I share this publicly, so, you know, it's, but I, in my particular case, I was diagnosed in 2020 with, something called dissociative identity disorder, used to be called multiple personality disorder.
Okay.
I don't actually view it as a disorder. Nobody would ever, most people would never even know. And I would be sort of, if you consider part of a spectrum, I would be very sort of light on that. A way that a lot of people who have trauma deal with it is through dissociation. Are you familiar with that term and what that
dissociation
is? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Like what it does. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really quite fascinating because when we dissociate, we are essentially exiting our body. I mean, I don't mean this in a metaphysical way, but that's sort of like the experience of it is like exiting our body, learning to not feel what's in our body. But we actually do that by getting high on our own supply. It's actually our body creates opiates, which then connects to our opiate receptors. And we are actually getting high on our own opiate supply. So you can actually get addicted to being dissociated.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. And when you have a lot of trauma and you're like, oh, how do I deal with this? I don't know how to deal with it. I'll just disconnect from my body. This is why I could not eat, drink, or sleep and not even notice that it was doing anything until my body was falling apart. Mm-hmm. I could do that for like literally for 40 hours. And I'd be like, I am a fucking Jedi. Like how are you, like how can you do this?
It's until you're not. Yeah.
Yes. And so you asked about a lot of people with trauma become entrepreneurs because it gives us agency. And
yes. Yeah.
The reason a lot of us experience trauma is because our power of choice was taken from us, you know, especially when you look at, and sometimes that's through circumstance and sometimes that's through the active will of somebody else. But when your power of choice is taken from you, then what is the most logical thing that you can do? Never let another fucking human being take your power of choice from you away. I will make my own fucking money. Thank you very much.
Hey there, if you like what I have to say and are looking for a keynote speaker or a workshop facilitator for your organization, upcoming event, or company retreat, please reach out. I'd love to chat and see if I can be of service. Learn more at bookkylie.com. This resonates so much with me. I mean, this isn't about me, but I had the same experience. I like literally, so I was in a dream job. And I got fired and I thought I was going into HR to get promoted because I was fucking killing it. I was killing it. I was doing like four people's jobs, et cetera. We'll put all the politics aside for a second. But anyway, I walked out of there and I was like, I don't get fired. I'm not the person that gets fired. And I did nothing to deserve to get fired.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there and I packed up my desk and like the tech person that had to like watch me close down my computer. Like he was crying because he felt bad and like everybody was crying. And I packed up all my shit and I put it in a box and I walked out and I was like, fuck this. No one's ever going to take my ability to earn income away from me again.
Yeah.
Wow. This is all there's a lot of, I'm going to have to finish this episode and then come back and re-listen to it and just listen to you talk more because you're giving me more to think about for myself right now. Wow. Thank you. I hope this is resonating for everybody else.
Well, you know, Kylie, the realization came to me when I went to go get a scan, a brain scan, to deal with, cause I was having all these kind of issues and it was a SPECT scan, which is originally created, as I understand it, to determine whether you're brain dead or not. Thankfully, I'm not. That was a real,
thankfully
pro. Yeah. But when they did the scan, so they're looking at like, you know, the various areas of activity in your brain when you're at rest and when you're working on something. Mm-hmm. And the neurologist that I met with, he says, you have, he showed me a pattern on the scan. He says, you have what's called the trauma diamond. He says, you're lit up like a Christmas tree. These are areas of lower activity in the shape of a diamond. He said, you're lit up like a Christmas tree. Like it's really acute what you're experiencing. And then he said, are you an entrepreneur by any chance? And I was like, what the heck? What? How would you know that? I said, yeah. He's like, yep. I see a lot of entrepreneurs with this pattern. And that was the first time I realized that there was that connection and that I've explored it since. And I've seen it over and over and over again.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Now I've got all these business ideas of creating help groups for entrepreneurs. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but somebody should. Wow. I got so many questions and again, no words at the same time. This is fascinating. Okay. So, all right. Keep it moving, Kylie.
And Kylie, I've totally thrown you off the script.
No, this is great. This is so much better than anything I had prepared for. Okay. So now we know that many entrepreneurs come from a place of trauma.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've talked about shifting mindset and how we relate to whatever it is that we've now established that most of us are coming from anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else can we do to help identify, name, overcome, reframe, use these traumatic experiences to help us move forward in our lives?
Okay, I'm going to give you two answers to that question, Kylie.
Okay.
The first would be, I think that it can be helpful to identify in our lives where we might have, trauma that's sort of left unaddressed. I don't think it's, but I want to be very clear, as I've said in the beginning, it doesn't mean that something is broken. It doesn't mean that you're broken. Our ability to handle hard things and store it in our body is a fucking miracle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that's wrong with us. It's something that's very, very right with us. But at some point, we need to be able to have a release valve. We live in a world where a lot of the natural mechanisms for releasing the hard things of the past, that's how I refer to it. Those don't have to become trauma. When they are undealt with and there is emotional processes that have not been allowed to complete, particularly the hard ones, that can turn into a trauma. That can turn into trauma in our bodies. Our nervous system becomes sort of permanently dysregulated. We're able to respond to things in a much, in a way that is sort of reactionary instead of actionary. And so if we're looking for, do I have some patterns of trauma in my life that I could potentially sort of release so that I can be more intentional in my life? Because that's really what it takes away oftentimes is our intention. We can look at things like, are there patterns that I continue to repeat, but I just don't know why I continue to repeat them? Certain ways, very common would be like ways of relating with other people. Am I kind of like hot-headed and I didn't think I was, but then all of a sudden I responded really quickly? Am I very quickly irritated? Do I feel like the need to appease other people, even though theoretically I don't think that's the best thing, but I keep finding myself appeasing them? We can see very much these relational patterns that we can say, oh, there might be something there. Like, why do I keep repeating that? And then once we're aware of that, if we can go into sort of looking at trying to gain some awareness very gently, I don't mean in an aggressive way, but very gently, like, well, how does that feel in my body when I think about it? Can I actually notice anything in my body about this? And very, very often, our bodies will feel something. Something different, something uncomfortable. Sometimes it's a vibration. Sometimes it's a tension. Sometimes it's just an awareness of a part of our body without sort of knowing why we think about it, but it comes to mind. And then it's just a matter of like letting it be, just like giving it permission to be felt. And there's a type of therapy called somatic experiencing, which, you know, I'm not doing it justice because I'm giving you the Corbin version of it, but it's a way of sort of saying, okay, what are these stuck emotional processes that we've had in our life? And then how can we allow those to be experienced and released? And sometimes it can be really simple. It can be something simple like that. But if we notice that we have these patterns in our life, there are four major areas that we can look at just as like a way to support ourselves. To giving our bodies the ability to work through trauma. And it's like basic human nature. It's a core part of the work that we do. Kylie at Hope Guide, the company I run now, is trying to help people to identify the things that they can do in their lives that are not spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's what I spent to recover from PTSD. But it's like accessible to everybody. It sounds so simple that it's like, yeah, really? Maybe you should do some research and like found a new like kind of therapy. Okay. Or maybe give these four things a try.
Okay. So what are the four things?
All right. Number one, what are you putting in your body? Our body is actually supported by the food that we put in, and it can be affected by the toxins that we put into our body. So if we're eating like heavily processed foods, that taxes our nervous system, makes us less resilient to the hard things that happen. Now, that alone may not make a difference, or it might, depends on the person. But if we start being more aware of just putting good, healthy foods into our bodies, we will notice that we'll have more capacity for the hard things that come at us. We'll be less reactionary. And as a bonus, once we have more capacity in our nervous system, our mind and our body will start to naturally process a lot of the trauma that we've experienced. We can work with therapists, and it's very helpful as an accelerant. But like we are wired for healing, naturally. We are wired for healing. And so number one is, what are we putting in our bodies? Mm-hmm. Number two, what is our sleep like? Mm. If we're not sleeping well, we're going to have less capacity to handle the hard things that happen, which means emotional processes can become stuck and turn into trauma. Mm-hmm. So it's like eating, sleeping. And the other thing is, the third thing is moving our bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years, however long it is, we've been moving our bodies. And like in the last 20 or 30 or 40, we now sit in front of computers. Mm-hmm. And so our bodies haven't adapted to that environment. And it really needs us to move and allow that stress to be expressed through movement. Because mm-hmm. that's what doesn't happen now. The stress just stays in our bodies. We don't have a way to release it. That's why it's good to get out for walks and exercise and do. And this sounds like really like pedestrian kind of advice. It's because it works and it makes a big difference for trauma. And we're not doing these things.
Well, and it's natural.
Yeah. And, you know, my objective at Hope Guide is to reduce the barrier of entry for people to heal from trauma. So why not start with the things that we know can have an impact on our capacity to deal with the hard things. Mm-hmm. The fourth thing is all about connection. It's about relationships. So it's like, who are we allowing into our life and what are we allowing? What kind of relationships are we allowing? So Kylie, you know, I have a speech called Sometimes All We Need Is a Witness. Mm. And the whole idea is not just a nice, idea. Like, it's based on the fact that when we have experienced relational trauma, which is a very common form of trauma, and is probably it's the most common form of trauma. Mm-hmm. We are hurt through a relationship. Yep. When we are hurt through a relationship, we are healed through relationship. There is no other way. Now we can help our bodies to sort of have more capacity, but really we need to be able to address that through relationship with other people. And so it's a matter of building relationships in our lives where we can be seen, where we can be heard, where we can be truly experienced by somebody else without judgment and with curiosity. If we can nurture those kind of relationships in our lives, I mean, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And so, I firmly believe, even though, you know, the company that I run, we sell, among other things, therapeutic services. Like, you would think it's not in my best interest to tell you how you can deal with this on your own. However, I 100% believe that, because PTSD is on the rise, depression is on the rise, anxiety is on the rise, loneliness is on the rise. Those three things, depression, anxiety, loneliness, 60% of Americans have one of those three things. And that's not even looking at other mental health concerns and PTSD, et cetera. If we were able to address those four things, we would not have the epidemic of trauma in our culture that we now have. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. They seem too easy, but we don't do them.
They sound easy, but in practice, they can be quite challenging at times.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a matter of like, can I pick one of these things in my life and have a really small habit to change? Like, if I'm having, for example, if it's food for me, if I'm having lots of sugar, sugar's a tough one, actually. Maybe I shouldn't say sugar. But let's just, you know, so maybe I'm having lots of sugar. Maybe I actually just cut that in half for a while and just create that as a habit in my life where I'm saying, okay, I'm actually just not having sugar in the mornings for breakfast. Just that. Because that actually taxes our nervous system and is toxic to us. Alcohol would be another thing. Mm-hmm. So we could pick one thing, or maybe it's just like doing a sleep hygiene. We're developing a sleep hygiene course for Hope Guide right now to help people address this, because it's like, if I can learn how to just like prime myself so I can sleep and get 7 hours instead of six or five, I'm going to have more capacity to deal with the hard things in my life. Mm-hmm. Starting with picking one of those things, you'll start
somewhere.
Different. Yes. Yeah.
I love that. And it's actionable. It's realistic. You know, just pick one thing. You don't have to completely change everything, but start somewhere. I love that. Okay, so Corbin, you've mentioned Hope Guide. Tell us a little bit about what you're currently working on right now that you're so excited about. You just talked about this upcoming sleep study, but what else are you guys working on?
I've never been as excited about a business in my life that I'm as I am of Hope Guide, and it's the first time. Actually, it's the second time. The other business was very peripherally related to this. That I started first with purpose and realized I could figure out the money side of things after. That was just a difference for me in my perspective. I'm like, I'm going to start with the thing that feels meaningful. And I really, really, really care about helping. Listen, I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to give you the 5-second version of this. I spent $300,000 to recover from PTSD, and one day I had a thought. I was like, what if I only had 250,000 or 200 or 100 or 50 or 20 or 10 or 5? And what would become of me? I would be dead. I would have made sure I was dead. If you get my drift, I couldn't deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that has driven everything that I do now. I'm like, I was lucky enough to have the resources that I could just throw money at the problem until I fixed it. Most people don't have that.
Yeah.
And I started crying. I was like, man, like what about the people that just don't have those kind of resources? And it's like most people. And so what are the barriers? So Hope Guide, our whole job at Hope Guide is to reduce the barriers. So we've identified the major barriers. Cost is one of them. Knowledge is a second big one. And then accessibility, availability locally is the other, mm-hmm. is the third one. And so you asked what I'm really excited about. Starting from the place of how do we reduce the barriers instead of like, how do we make money, has given us the opportunity to come up with creative solutions for helping to solve those that are not like typical for like mental health organizations. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know if that's technically what we are. Because we're just trying to find a solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. But we realize that if we can help educate people on what they specifically need to do in their lives, like changes they can make, then we can actually reduce the cost barrier. Because you're not having to throw money at a bunch of things that aren't working. Mm-hmm. And you can do things like these four things. And there's a bunch of others, but these are like four major areas you can look at to say, mm-hmm. oh, I'm experiencing trauma, I can reduce those. And so we're in launch mode right now. I mean, we're in startup mode right now. So we have less of the of what we will be offering in our product stack available now than we will in 6 months. But our intention over the next 6 months is to build out our entire product stack so that there is no barriers to people to being able to address the trauma that they're experiencing in their lives, other than their own willingness to do it. We can't solve. So our model is to give away the information and sell the implementation, because we need money in order to fund what we're doing. But we don't want lack of resources to be a barrier for people to learning what they can do in their own lives. So I'm really, really excited about our mission more than anything, if I answer your question.
I love that. I mean, at Rain9, that's what we talk about all the time, is you have to define your personal purpose and define success for yourself, and then build the business in alignment with your personal definition of success.
Yes.
And so thank you for being a living, breathing testimonial for that. That was great for me. thank you so much for the work that you guys are doing. Okay, I have two more questions and I want to try to get this out. So if we can, we'll keep the responses tight if we can.
Hey, Corbin, keep it short. Yes.
All right. What impact do you want to make on the world, and what legacy do you want to leave? Question number one.
Okay. I think the impact that I would like to leave is the knowledge that trauma is optional.
Mm. I love that.
Because we don't view it that way. It's actually, especially when we're diagnosed, it's believed to be a new normal. And actually, it doesn't need to be that. It's actually optional. So that would be my short answer.
That's very powerful. Okay. My second question for you is, what is your greatest insight or discovery about life and entrepreneurship? The pair of them.
Greatest insight about life or entrepreneurship. I would say listen, there's a lot of ways to make money. And as an entrepreneur, we can always look for opportunity. And I've done that for many, many years. And by the way, I found meaning in that work. It's not like it was meaningless work. We had a great impact. I was proud of what we did. But for me personally, and I think this might be true for everybody, if we can start there, starting with purpose just feels so much better for my soul. Like I just feel like I don't need to use force as much. There's a natural power that's just built into that passion that is just like drives me. And so I would say probably to summarize, it's better to start with purpose than profit and just trust that if you start with purpose, and of course, don't ignore profit. We need that. But if we start with purpose, we can find our way to profit. And if you start with profit, you don't always find your way to purpose.
No. Correct.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Corbin, I could speak with you for literally days. thank you so much for diving in deep and giving us some really juicy things to think about. I know I have things I need to go back and think about now. For those who want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to find you?
Two things. If they want to sort of see my personal work, they can go to corbinspeaks.com. That's my personal site where all of the various things I do are there. And then if they want to learn more about Hope Guide, they can go to hopeguide.com, which is hopeguide.com.
Awesome. And we'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. For anybody listening, please go ahead, leave us a review, join our newsletter at ricksrixnewsletter.com. And Corbin, gosh, you're just a delight. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You are too, Kylie. Thank you for having me.
Are you struggling with recruiting the right talent, employee or team retention, engagement and advocacy, innovation, building your team's business and leadership skills? We are bringing entrepreneurial skill sets, business acumen, and ownership mindset to organizations to help them build intrapreneurs with our Intrapreneur Training Program. This new program will help companies and organizations elevate their talent and increase profitability by expanding tangible business skill sets, improving cross-department functionality and communication, amplifying leadership capabilities, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more, check out RIXITP.com and book a discovery call today. To continue learning how to better build your business and make your vision a reality, subscribe to the Welcome to Eloma email list at welcometoeloma.com.